Me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 6, and I'll read from verse 41 through to verse 51, and this will be the passage that we'll be considering this morning. John chapter 6, and if you are there, I commence reading from verse 41. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Let's just pray together, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for this moment when we can sit and hear your word preached to us. We thank you, O God, for the songs we've sung, the projects and the progressions at SCU. And now, dear God, as we've sung in our handover hymn, we pray that you would draw nearer to each one of us, that each one will experience that marvelous experience of having God dwell in you. We particularly pray for those that do not know this experience, those still wandering in their sins. Father, we ask that you be gracious to them and cause them to see the need of you in their lives this morning. We pray this for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our journey in the book of John finds us this morning in chapter 6, verse 41 through to verse 51. And what we see there is the murmurs of unbelief from the Jews. The Lord Jesus Christ has just been teaching concerning himself that he is the bread of life. And the moment he mentioned that he is the bread that came down from heaven, the Jews began to murmur in disbelief amongst themselves. 3 Sundays ago, we considered verse 35 through to verse 41, and we saw there clearly the Lord Jesus Christ identifying himself as the true bread from heaven, the genuine bread from heaven, the bread that satisfies the needs of the soul. And the murmuring and the accounts that are recorded in this passage that we've read immediately comes after the Lord Jesus Christ revealing himself as the bread that comes from heaven. And the opposition that arose was because of what Jesus had said, that he is the bread that had come from heaven. And they began asking and talking amongst themselves. They found it very difficult to accept that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. They found it very difficult to accept the fact that his origin is from heaven. And so they murmured, among themselves. But also you notice that the passage you've read, there's a probability that there's a change of the audience that the Lord Jesus Christ begins to address. The previous verses where the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the multitude that had followed him from Galilee to Capernaum, after the feeding of the 5,000, you notice John records that when the people had discovered that the Lord Jesus Christ was not there, they got onto the boats and went to look for him in Capernaum. But now when we come to verse 41 through to verse 59, there is a suggestion, especially when you read verse 59, that now the Lord Jesus Christ begins to address the Jews that were at Capernaum, and most likely the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching from the synagogue in Capernaum. And so now he begins to talk to the leaders, and probably these Jewish leaders had heard his teachings, and so they began to grumble and murmur amongst themselves. They were saying to themselves, we know who his parents are. We know the parentage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say to themselves, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? How come he claims or is saying he is from heaven? The word mama is one of those unique English words or words found in the English language that exist exclusively because they sound like the thing they're describing. And so, murmuring is the confusion or the confused sound that you hear through the masses or the multitude when they're in opposition against something or when they don't believe something. You hear that sound and you could clearly tell that this sound like people are not in agreement with what I'm saying. And so this is exactly what the Jewish leaders are doing. The Lord Jesus Christ has spent time teaching and repeating and emphasizing that he is the bread of life. Even though the hearers kept on referring to the manna that Moses fed their forefathers, the Lord Jesus Christ tried to show them that that manna which your forefathers ate, they still died. But now if you eat the bread that is from heaven, you will not die, but you will surely live. And there are so many of us, or so many people, this morning present, that behave just like the Jews. They murmur inside their hearts against the teachings of Scripture. They are in opposition against what the Lord Jesus Christ stands for and teaches. They continue to murmur, even though they may not vent their emotions outwardly, but inside of them, there's this settled opposition against the Lord Jesus Christ. And murmuring in unbelief reveals the true state of your heart. Even though you may not do it outwardly, but God who sees the heart knows where you stand. And three things that our passage reveals, and I'd like us to quickly look at those three things, and then we'll be done. The first thing we see is that this murmuring of unbelief concerning the truth of Scripture shows us why people fail to see the truth clearly stated or recorded in the Bible. This murmuring that is recorded for us here clearly shows us why people fail to see the truth, as simply put it, in the Scriptures. And you see that from verse 41 through to verse 44. The Jews have heard what the Lord Jesus Christ has been saying. And so they murmur among themselves. And then the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes them. Because don't you remember, he is God. And he was able to see their hearts. He was able to know what is going through their minds. And so as they murmur amongst themselves, the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes them. And the rebuke of the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes their responsibility. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to them, instead of you receiving the truth from God, the truth as revealed by the Son of God, the Jews went immediately into a cluster to begin to discuss and dispute what the Lord Jesus Christ had just said. And behind that murmuring lay the unbelief of the Jewish authorities. And so the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes them and tells them not to grumble amongst themselves. And then he shows them that no one can come to him unless the Father draws him or that individual to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the words recorded in verse 44 are not in any way designed to keep the Jews away from being saved. But these words are there to humble them and to show them how they can have access to God the Father. Christ is not closing the door of salvation before them, but he's showing them how they can enter that door of salvation. He's showing them where their hope lies. And Christ wants them to know that the hope of salvation did not lie in them keeping the Ten Commandments. The hope of their salvation did not lie in them being fed from the manna that Moses fed their forefathers. But the hope of their salvation lay in the one who had just revealed himself as the one who's come from God. And if they saw him in that way, they were going to be saved. And Christ clearly points it to them. The fact that you people are murmuring amongst yourselves shows that you've not yet come to me. The Father has not drawn you to me. And the fact that you pride in your self-righteousness shows that you are still in your sins. And so the Lord Jesus Christ just exposed their sin, their rebellion, and their wrong reasoning when it came to salvation. And now he points them to how they can see the true light of the gospel, how they can see the way of salvation, how they can see how to be reconciled to God. And the Lord Jesus Christ puts it negatively in verse 44, that no one can come to the Father unless the Father draws him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see clearly there that there are two sides. There's God's work of salvation, and there's man's responsibility towards that salvation. God has already made a way on how people can be reconciled to him. God has provided this way through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as God is concerned, his way is made clear. And there's a responsibility. And that responsibility is for man to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But the Jews could not see. They could not see this clear way of salvation. And it continues to be so even in our day. Many people fail to see the way of salvation. Those who refuse to repent spend their time trying to find ways how they can suppress the truth of God. They come up with reasons as to why they will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all sinners do that very same thing. Instead of them calling upon God, instead of them crying to God, that God may open their hearts so that they may see this great salvation, they continue to suppress the truth. They continue to come up with reasons why they cannot believe the teachings of the scriptures. And so they come up with reasons and feel justified in their minds that their reasons will convince God as to why they did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't continue to murmur within your heart concerning your salvation. Don't continue to debate within your heart on how you can come to God. Don't continue to have a debate within your heart as to why you will not come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you've seen many other hypocrites out there who claim that they believe in God, but their lives are far away from God. But God will deal with them. But what about you? Your bondage to sin is far, far more serious than you can imagine. Your bondage to sin is more serious than you can imagine. Sin is terrible in the sight of God. And if your sin has not been cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, all your arguments, all your wisdom, all your intellect, all your efforts will not avail for anything, will not stand for anything on that day. Because sin is serious. And whatever reasons that you come up with, if it's outside the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still living in your sins and God is displeased with you. The murmuring of your heart shows the state of your heart, that your heart is in opposition against God. And because there's this settled opposition in your heart against God, that's why you fail to see the beauty of God's salvation as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you fail to see the beauty of what it means to be reconciled to this holy God. That's why you fail to see the seriousness of your sins. And that's why you continue to live in your sins, because you are living in opposition against God, and everything to do with God is not welcome in your life. That's why you fail to see the need of Christ in your life. Because you're seeing things from the human point of view. You're seeing things only from your side. But see things from God's side. How that God is a holy God and he cannot entertain sin. And because he's a holy God, that's why he cast out of the garden Adam and Eve when they sinned against God. And because of that sin in your life, God is displeased with you, with your actions, and with any religious activities. Because each time God looks at your heart, he sees a heart that is in deep-seated opposition against his holy name. And that's why you fail to see the beauty of God's salvation. Because you continue to grumble within your heart. The second thing I'd like us to see is the fact that how would people come to see the beauty of God's salvation? If murmuring shows why people fail to see the truth of Scripture concerning salvation, the question that we need to answer is, how then will people come to see the beauty of God's salvation? How will people come to see the truth of the Bible concerning salvation? How can a person who is totally depraved, how can a person who has a stubborn will, how can a person who's self-righteous come to see the beauty of God's salvation? How can a person who sees the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ too humbling for his desires? How can a person who sees the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ too demanding for his rebellious will? How can such an individual come to a point when they begin to see what God demands and see the beauty of the salvation of God in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can such a person come to such a point? How can one who prides himself in religiousness and morality come to know the truth of salvation? And the Lord Jesus Christ, in answering this question, has recorded for us in verse 45 and 46. He begins by quoting Isaiah 54 and verse 13, where the prophet Isaiah is writing to the people of God that were cast off into exile because of their disobedience. And Isaiah is writing to them that a time is coming when the people of God shall be taught by God's word. A time is coming when God will be near his people, and this people will learn and hear from the Father. And so that those that will hear and learn from the Father will draw them to himself. And when you read that portion of the Bible in Isaiah chapter 54, you see God writing to his people, rebellious people, who were taken off into captivity because of their disobedience. And now God writes to comfort them and promising them that their children shall be taught by him. And because of God's compassion and love for his people, he initiates or come up with an initiative to draw them to himself. Because of his love, he tells them that, "I'll draw near to you, and I'll be the one who will remove this heart of stone in you and put a heart of flesh." And the mark of God's nearness to his people is that they will learn from him. And this promise that was recorded in Isaiah 54 is picked up in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through to verse 34. When Jeremiah prophesies of the new covenant, how that this new covenant, it will be God himself who will teach his people. These people will no longer need to be taught by others, but by God himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ, reciting Isaiah 54, is showing to the Jews that the promise of God the Father through the prophet Isaiah is now being fulfilled in their presence. What God had promised through Isaiah is now being fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his people, he's teaching the Jews, he's teaching the hearers what God had said. And God is saying to them, this is being fulfilled. And how will God teach his people? When they believe in the death of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, When the one who came down from heaven dies on the cross and is raised from the dead, and anyone who puts their hope and trust in that person, the Son of God, will come to see the beauty of God's salvation, but also will come to see the seriousness of sin. And for a Jew, hearing God's word was not merely an outward experience. It involved obedience to what was heard. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 45, "And they will be taught by God, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to a people who knew exactly what that statement meant. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you know what God said through the prophets. When you hear God's word, it's not just an outward experience, but this hearing will result in living in obedience to God's word. And so Jesus is saying to them, the reason why you've not come to see, the reason why you don't believe in me, the reason why there's this deep settled opposition against me is because you've not heard the words of God. And because you've not heard the words of God, you've not learned from God, and you've not obeyed God's word. And how would people come to see? By living in obedience to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The teachings of Christ is that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. And if you've heard the teachings of Christ, it will mean that you've not just outwardly heard, but you've responded to those words in obedience to what God's requirements are. And God's requirements are that people should believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why you've not believed God's word is because of your disobedience to God's truth. God has paved a way of salvation, but you've not responded in obedience to that word. And because of this lack of obedience to the revealed will of God on how you can be reconciled to God, you've continued to live in rebellion against God. And you are living in opposition against God. Because of your disobedience, you've consciously chosen to do everything that is in opposition to God, everything that is against God, everything that God does not require. Because of your lack of obedience in your heart, you've continued to live in sin, to wallow in sin, and you've continued to reject the word of God. God's word, as recorded in John 3 verse 16, says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." And so God's way of salvation is clear. God has paved this way, and God requires and demands that you believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Christ came into this world, to die for your sins and my sins. And as the Bible tells us, he was crucified and was raised on the third day, and is in heaven interceding for those that believe in him. And God's requirement for you is to believe in him. How will you come to see the beauty of salvation? It's by acknowledging your sins and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that only he can reconcile you to the Father. Only he can cleanse you from your sins. you are not a believer this morning because of your disobedience. Not that you lack evidence. Not that you lack proof. The Bible is clear on how one becomes a believer. And there are so many people around you that heeded to this call of God and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've seen their lives change. You've seen them grow from grace to grace and to grace. The only reason is disobedience to God's word. And you only come to see the beauty of salvation if you repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all a human being who's totally depraved. One who has a stubborn will. One living in rebellion against God. The only way such an individual will come to see the beauty of salvation is by running to the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in him. And so what should be your response? That stop murmuring within your heart and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop debating within your heart. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what John tells us in verse 47 through to verse 51. That you must stop murmuring within your heart and come to see the beauty of salvation. Stop debating within your soul. This is not a matter that you need to spend time debating, but this is a matter that you must spend time responding in obedience to what God has said. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you may receive the gift of God's salvation. Why must you come to Christ? Because only Jesus gives eternal life. Life is a quest of all human beings. We all want to enjoy life. We all want to have a good and satisfying life. And so we do everything we can within our abilities or capacities in order to have such a good life. And sadly, is that some even do wrong things in order to have a good life. But only Christ gives eternal life. Only Jesus Christ gives real life. And so those who believe in Christ have eternal life. They do not need to wait for some day hoping that they will find eternal life. No. John is telling us there that salvation is a present reality in the life of believers. Those that have believed in Christ have eternal life. And that's what we're told in verse 47 through to verse 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying that whoever believes will have eternal life, or when I return as king, I will grant to them eternal life. He's saying whoever has believed has eternal life. That's a present reality. Eternal life is a present position of the people of God. To believe in Christ is to have eternal life. To believe in Christ is to know the Father. And to know the Father is to know the Son. And knowing the Father and the Son is having eternal life. To know God is to have communion with Him. And not just head knowledge that there is God, but to experience the forgiveness of God through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to know God is to have that mutual, intimate relationship with God, God is abiding in you, and you are abiding in God. And to know God is to have eternal life. It's to have fellowship with God. It's to love God and to hate the things that God hates. And to know God is to experience the forgiveness of sin through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this experience flows from the cross of Christ into the heart of the human being. And such union is real. And you can experience such a union because you've come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You have real life, everlasting life, satisfying life. This world and all its promises will not give you such a life. Only Christ and the salvation that he offers can give you such a life. Life is a quest of all human beings. But the problem is that we look for such a life in all wrong things and places. Some look for it in a bottle. Others look for it in sensual pleasures that this world can offer. And all those that have gone that route have not been satisfied. The more they drink in the pleasures and the sinfulness of this world, the more they quest for the meaning of life, the more they quest for what real life is, the more they quest for that satisfying life that they've been looking for. But only Christ can satisfy. Only Christ can give you real life. Only Christ can give you eternal life. The life that has meaning. Life that cannot be overthrown by death, not even by the devil himself. Life that is kept for us in the palms of God. And this life is a present reality, and no one will snatch it away from you, because God, who's given it to you, is greater than anything in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, this is why you must come to him. This is why you need to see the beauty of salvation. He wants to give you peace with him. He wants to wash you from a guilty conscience. He wants to wash you from your sins and grant you reconciliation, so that between you and God there is peace. And you no longer count your sins. Because each time he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why you need to come to Christ. This is why you must stop murmuring and run to Christ, because only he can give you the life that you've been looking for. Only he can give you a place of quiet rest, a place where all is joy and peace. And the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are justified, you are pardoned, and you are accepted before the throne of God. And the moment you believe in him, there is therefore no condemnation for you. And each time God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a smile comes on his face, because he knows that there is my child. All because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have no excuse for not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no excuse for arguing with the great invitation of salvation to you. Like the Jews, you continue to murmur within your heart because of your rebellion against God. You continue to murmur within your heart and trying to come up with reasons to justify as to why you've not called on God. And you tend to think because of your righteousness, your outward activities, your religious activities, one day you present those before the throne of God. And in your mind, you think God will accept your righteousness. Don't continue to murmur in unbelief. You are a sinner before God. The sooner you realize that, the better for you, because there will be hope for you to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you continue to debate and to murmur within your soul, time is ticking. And one day you will find yourself before the throne of God, still murmuring and grumbling within your heart. And God is going to usher you into the lake of fire with all your arguments, with all your debates within your mind. Because the only way you enter heaven is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So stop debating within yourself. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer puts it, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And any sinner who is plunged beneath that flood will lose all the guilty stain. Oh, that you may run to that fountain and ask God to plunge you beneath that flood, so that as you come out of that flood, you will no longer be guilty before God, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will wash you and you'll be white as snow, so that when you go back, you will not be the same. You would have experienced the forgiveness of God. Oh, that you may cry out to Him and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your soul. Run to that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And that blood is still cleansing people from their sins. But remember that that blood will not continue to flow. A time will come when that blood will stop. And the Son of God will return. And this time, to judge the world in righteousness. Before that time come, run to the fountain, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein.